Hello, welcome to another chat or episode or whatever you want to call this, or chat of game chat, our final chat of 2021. I'm flying by the seat of my pants right here because we have no notes really for this chat here, but this is our third annual, I guess, top games of the year, because we had so few games, where we narrowed it down to three rather than five, just to kind of make it a little easier. And not really much else to talk about. I guess I will start it off here by saying that we did have a tie for first and second, and there was no definitive third place. So, because we did have an honorable mention this year, what I ended up doing was I went and used that as a tiebreaker. So, because of that, we were able to get a first and second. And then we got so many more votes for the honorable mention that it was able to help put a game into the third spot, because we really didn't have any extra votes for a third that would have qualified anything. So, that was the best way I could do it to make any sense. So before we get going, as per normal, we're going to start off with our opening question. And for this week, the question is, what was your favorite game of 2021, or gaming moment? So, favorite game of 2021 that GameChat didn't play, or your favorite gaming moment that either GameChat did play or didn't play. So, and we'll start at the top with Franco.
Hey, this is Franco. That I didn't play. I'd have to say, game called Dismantle. DYSMANTLE. I just checked. I have. I just finished it like a week or so ago. 99 hours into it. Just mindless. Not. I wouldn't say mindless, but just very. I don't know. It's weird. It's a meta thing. It's just you're just bashing stuff all over this island, buildings, facilities, just to collect resources and eventually find a way to get off the island. So. It's just, it has to be experienced.
Seems like a very frank game.
Yes.
This is Jonathan. It's hard because I played a lot of games this year and they were all. But I'm gonna. It's a game that didn't come out this year, but it's the most recent thing in my mind. And I know everyone talked about this like 5 years ago when it came out. Bloodborne. This year was the first year I ever tried a Soulsborne game, because I got Demon's Souls at the beginning of the year, and I feel like I cheesed my way through that one. And then I got Bloodborne for free from like PlayStation Plus, so like years ago or something. I don't know. And I tried it before, and I was like, "Why does anyone want to play this game? This game's hard. It's stupid. It's scary. There's gross monsters. No." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll try it again." And then it's I don't understand it, but it's like what everyone says. It's like, you're playing it and you hate it, and then all of a sudden it's all you think about.
Oh, no.
And you go through it, and then it's so brutal, and then you, like, finish it, and then you're just like, I know it's so, like, cheesy to say, but it's just, like, I had this moment of, like, I'm a good gamer. I beat Bloodborne. I can say that. People can respect that. I mean, so does respect, quote unquote, you know? I beat a video game. But, you know, it's just one of those, because Bloodborne, like, I've watched people play it. I've, like, it's just one of those games. I was like, oh, that seems cool. I'll never be that talented at a game. And I beat it. And it's just like, and then almost immediately I've jumped into Dark Souls Remastered. So it's like, gosh, I don't know.
You're really taking the path.
I know. It's like, I don't understand the addiction, because, like, I hated it, and then all of a sudden now it's all I think about. It's like, oh. But, so that's my quote-unquote game of the year, even though it's like a game that came out in 2015.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Hi, this is Kevin. Yes, my top game of the year has been what I've been playing most of the year, which is Final Fantasy XIV, which I think I finished 2-3 expansions this year in it, including the new one. So,
nice. Then,
an emotional journey.
I'm sure.
This is Chris. I think for me, it's a toss up between what my must play is for next year with Maquette or was it 2019 or 18 release of Spider-Man for the PS4? Where I finally ended up playing it because it came free with Spider-Man Miles Morales when I got my PS5. And ended up playing through the whole thing, and it was just really got my money's worth out of the entertainment factor of the whole thing. And I kind of want to go back in and do the DLC and all that stuff. So yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris.
No, I'm done.
Okay. This is Steph. I would say that my favorite gaming thing outside of game chat this year, there was a good portion of the year that I wasn't able to play many games, but this was kind of the year of, or at least the last half of the year was a Switch gaming time for me. I pretty much only gamed on Switch from, like, late summer, early fall to the end of the year. I don't know, it's just been really accessible to me. And my favorite game outside of game chat would be probably a game that I played on the Switch called Sayonara Wild Hearts, which was released back in 2019. Simogo, but I'll just read the description here because they do a better job. A music-based action game. Simogo is a Swedish developer, and it was published by Annapurna, a game chat favorite, and described as a pop album video game. And it was the story of a heartbroken woman through it told the story of a heartbroken woman through a surrealistic landscape. Yeah, so it's music-based. It was something that I, during a rough, kind of a rough time, one of many in 2021, but a rough time emotionally, I just kind of plugged into one day, and I think maybe played the game, like, well, I played it in, like, increments, at, like, the first time, And then, like, I loved it so much that there was a night, getting a little bit personal, there was a night that I was, like, just really, just some emotional, you know, stuff going on, mental stuff, and just laid in bed, put in the headphones, blasted the music, and just played the entire game. So, like, 3 hours in one sitting. Or while laying in bed, really. So, this game meant a lot to me in 2021. It's a lot of fun. If you like music-based game, like, music, you know, games, like, it's kind of like a, you know, like a racer, like a runner set to music. So, like, you're just collecting hearts. It's not even anything, like, crazy. There are different, like a different rewards that you get for completing the level and getting so many points in each level. So there's that kind of added challenge to where you beat it once, you kind of want to go back and see if you can collect more stuff on the level to get more points. It's just really, it was kind of the first game that I played that was like music driven like that. And it got me into this whole like, okay, yeah, I guess this is my jam. Like, I guess like I really like music driven games like this. There you go.
All right. So, yeah, basically, so what I did to calculate the overall top three is I just took all of the votes and threw them all together rather than taking the percentages of where they fell within the positions of who voted. Just because, they were literally all over the place.
Yeah.
We'll start off with how I've randomized the list. You'll go through, give your what your number three pick was, give a quick explanation. We'll go down the list, and then I'll tell everyone what the overall number three was, and then we'll move on from there. And we'll go through that. So as I've randomized the list, the order is Kevin, Steph, Frank, myself, Jonathan, and then Madeline, who unfortunately couldn't be here, but Steph will be reading what her picks are and why she chose them.
Part of Madeline this evening will be played by me.
Oh no, an understudy.
Yeah, Steph's a really good understudy. She's actually memorized all the parts of Game Chat. She knows all our parts.
So yeah, if Kevin wants to start it off.
What were you starting with?
Number three.
All right. My number three was What Never Was, which was, I believe, that was the Attic game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Even though it was short, it was an enjoyable experience, and it essentially was like a setup for the continuing of the game, which will be coming out, I guess, sometime, possibly next year. And I felt like the world and stuff that it was hinting towards seems very interesting. And the implementation and stuff was fun.
Cool. My number three is Tell Me Why. Which was, you know, for those listening, I was developed by Don't Nod, published by Xbox Game Studios. It was a choice-driven game, very similar to some of Don't Nod's other titles. But I feel like that they got this one really right. characters, I think, in the game were very realistic. I felt that the dialogue choices were mostly realistic. You know, there were a few kind of hiccups here and there, but nothing compared to some of their other stuff that they've released. I felt like that it was a lot more natural and a lot more intuitive with that. Yeah, and I just felt like they really hit a home run with it only being like 3 episodes long instead of trying to go for 4 or 5 like they've done with the other ones. I think that that shorter setting kind of fits well with this, and you don't get tired or, you know, they did a very good job telling the story in those 3 episodes. And yeah, and the story was very moving. It was mysterious. Which that was the whole thing of like unraveling the mystery. You know, there were a couple of things, you know, issues that I think that, you know, that I remember us discussing and that I had an issue with. But like, all in all, like, it was just a very memorable gaming experience. And I think, like, you know, I went into it very cautiously because of past experiences with some of Dontnod's other stuff, you know, that they had released. And, went to it very cautiously, but it definitely surprised me. And, you know, and also representation, man, you know, like, and I think that they did it well. So yeah. Yeah. That's why it's my number 3.
All right. Is it me? Yep. Steph? Okay. This is Frank. Gee golly willikers, I picked for my number 3 pick, Tell Me Why. So, if you just want to rewind Steph's comment, that was pretty much
Frank's like, ditto for me.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. She pretty much put it all out there, and yeah, enjoyable game. Not perfect in any sense of the word, but very good game nonetheless. And I enjoyed it.
So I'm next. A lot of my picks were basically kind of based upon games that I kept kind of going back to and thinking about. And it's like this year was kind of weird with games because a lot of the games that we played just seemed to be kind of deep and just like left impressions on you. So my number 3 is Kentucky Route Zero. And it's again one of those games where you just kind of like you'll be going about your day and then all of a sudden just a thought will pop into your head, or you'll have a flashback to like a moment in that game, and it's just like, and you just think back to moments of the game and just like kind of thinking about where these people would be now and you know, stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't know. It's crazy how a lot of these games have just really kind of left impressions this year and have just the narrative on a lot of these games have just had, and I don't know if it's just because like we've all been kind of like stuck inside and haven't really been able to go out much or interact with a lot of people, or if it's just that the storytelling is just really this good. So yeah, that's really kind of why Kentucky Route Zero is on my list. And you know, I think the minimalism of the art and graphics kind of helps just elevate the story more because it's not as much of a distraction and you can kind of focus more on the story. Also, so yeah,
are we to Madeline
or is it me
or is it Jonathan?
Jonathan, yep.
Okay,
Okay. Yeah, no, this was a really hard year for me to pick. My number three is more of like, it would have probably been higher up, but there's just still an absurd amount of content in this game that I have not played. And like, I felt like I needed to, you know, at least seen what all the game can offer before I, which I mean, it's a dumb reasoning, but no, this, I mean, out of so many games this year, it was really hard to pick, but, my number three is, Spiritfarer.
Nice.
This game, it's like, it's so simple. Like, it's like, if you strip it down, it's just one of those, like, you know, tourist simulator kind of games, you know, with some light puzzles and some light platforming here and there, but like, goodness, does this game just like punch you in the heart so many times. And like, the art, it's just everything about this game is just so gorgeous, and it has like really funny moments. And just like, I remember when this game first got announced, I remember everyone's like reactions during, like, I think it was like a Nintendo Indie Land or Indie World showcase or whatever they're called. And I just remember like seeing the chat like, oh, a game for furries. Okay, moving on. And it's just like, this is the most like human game I've ever played. You know, it's just, and it's just so hard to describe. And it's like, even characters I didn't like, you know, just like characters that were so obnoxious that I was like, I can't wait for you to pass on, you know, into the afterlife or whatever. You know, all it took was for them to say like one sentence as they were like going away forever that like broke me. And like I said, it probably would be higher up, but like, they've seriously added probably like, I'm probably over exaggerating, but they, since the launch of the original game, it probably added like 20 hours worth of content.
They've added a lot of content. Yeah.
It's like, even since we talked about it on Game Chat, which wasn't that long ago, they've done 3 gigantic updates.
Yeah. It was just in like September. Y'all talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know. Everything about this game is just so beautiful. And it's just, if a game was a hug, a comforting hug, it'd be this game. Yeah, and it just,
love it.
Yeah.
All right. Madeline's number 3 is also Spiritfarer. And I'll read the lovely words of Madeline because she writes so well. I couldn't put this game higher because I still haven't finished it. And if they keep sending out updates with new spirits, I might not ever. What a wonderful, peaceful, heartfelt experience helping people get ready to say goodbye, to this life. I love the character art and I love the soundtrack. Heart emoji. Bonus, this is the only farming sim I've ever enjoyed. And that's it for Madeline's number 3.
All right, so we're back up to Kevin now.
Okay, my...
Oh, wait, hold on. Forgot. The overall number 3. And this is kind of like, when you look at everything, kind of comes out of nowhere. But the overall number 3, and this was kind of saved because of the honorable mention, was Necrobarista.
Oh, okay.
I could see that. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So now we're Back to Kevin with the number two spot.
My number two was Spiritfaring. It's a very wholesome and lovable game. I especially enjoyed Stanley the Mushroom. I didn't end up crying. I did get emotional over some of the departing of some of the spirits and stuff. And then just the overall general mechanics and stuff. The game was really fun. So that's why I put it as number two.
Right. My number two is Kentucky Route Zero. I a lot of things about Chris, you had it as your number three, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of things of what Chris said, like there are times where like I would just kind of like think about this game, like something will kind of hit me and be like, oh, that's kind of like in Kentucky Route Zero. But there are so many like poignant like vignettes in that game of storytelling. And even just in like the visual style as well. Like I think about like how in, you know, they had the music group throughout the, you know, throughout the episodes that at first would just kind of like in the first two or three episodes would just kind of like show up in the foreground in like some kind of shadow play way. And you just kind of see them like, you know, playing and hear the music and just see that their silhouettes. Some of the conversations, some of the moments, it's just, what an interesting game told over such a long period of time too. Like they were working on this game for quite some time. And while like, I wouldn't call it the most cohesive game, like, you know, from one episode to another, I mean, there was cohesiveness, but you know, the overall tone was cohesive, and I think they did a really good job with that, especially for how long that they were working on it. And yeah, just very moving. Funny moments in it, you know, there was just, you know, and very minimalistic style too. And I love kind of like the design aspect there. But yeah, there are things in that game to where I don't know if I'll, you know, for at least not forget them for a while. So. And there was a dog. Yeah. A very, very good dog. So yeah. Yeah. That's my number two.
All right, Frank. Oh,
this is Franco. My number two was, surprise, Spiritfarer. For much of the reasons already given. And it's just, what a roller coaster, and you kept playing the game even though you knew what was coming. So that's about the best Temis testimony you could give. You know, it's like you got, it's like, I do want to learn about this person before, you know, I get to say goodbye, and it's all part of the, you know, I guess it emphasizes the journey, you know? So it was really an enjoyable game, and that's why I gave it my number two.
My number two was Tell Me Why. much the same, like, with what has already been said by other people. Again, just not perfect in any sense of the word, but I think Don't Nod did a whole lot better job with this game than they did with Life is Strange 2. It's just another one of those stories that did a lot more better job of portraying a sibling relationship. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It just it felt a lot smoother and a lot more believable. It's just it was an enjoyable game to play this year. So, yeah.
Okay. Is it me?
Yes.
Okay. My number two was a game I was delighted actually made the cut this year, because I honestly didn't think it would. I thought it was going to be a hard sell. But it was the little game that blew up everywhere because it was the only thing on PlayStation 5 at launch. Bugsnacks. Game. I remember when I first saw this game, like, announced, it was like, this is the big PlayStation 5 launched. You know, and it's like, it was just like, at first I was interested because I'm like, oh, they're like Muppets. And then it's like, and then they eat these little bugs that look like food, and then their arms become the food. Whoa. And it was just like, I don't like that. And then as I heard about people playing it, and I saw the reviews popping up and people going like, kind of what I was saying about like Spiritfarer, is like, everyone's just like, why is this dumb game called Bugsnacks hitting me in the heart, you know, with these characters, you know? It's just, and it is just, you know, this kind of like Frankenstein of a game.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is all over the place. But I love it so much. Just all the characters. Even the ones that aren't my favorite. All of them. I just, like, think about them. From, like, oh, man, I wish I could remember other, like, Crombo and, just...
Bethany.
Tadlow, oh gosh, Befika. It just like the designs of the Bugsnacks were like ingenious, and I just want like a stuffed animal of like every single one of them. Yeah. And just like how they all like are like Pokemon, and like just bunger, 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 you know, just like, and then it just like the gameplay was fun. The just puzzle of trying to catch these bug stacks was just really entertaining. And just like learning the story, and like it actually had like a pretty good mystery. Yeah. And then an ending that came out of left field. but I just, and just like the fact that like they're like, you could like snack squatch. You, like, just we could catch it at random times in the game. It just, this game is just, it's just so dumb and silly and was made for Jonathan. Bugsnacks is my number two.
And everyone could die in it. Well, not everyone, but a lot of them, if you didn't.
Yeah, yeah, the last scene, yeah. The right? last level had stakes.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't prepared for.
And there are times that I see snacks in stores and I'm just like, or I see food, especially like the cheesy poofs. I'm just like, oh, yeah. Okay. Madeline's number two is Disco Elysium. And Madeline's lovely words. It's been a long time since I felt like a game was speaking directly to me, but Disco Elysium did. It said that what matters is your motivation, even if your actions lose the plot from time to time. It said that even the crappiest among us have some power to make life better or worse for people around us. It said that just because you believe the world is a certain way doesn't mean it's so. So leave room to expand your mind. Also, give Lieutenant Kim Kutsuragi an effing promotion for fate's sake. And that's Madeline's words. For number two, Disco Elysium.
All right, so the overall number two, there was a tie and it won out by one vote for the honorable mention. And the overall number two is Disco Elysium.
Nice.
So, I think before we go to the number one, we should probably all say what our honorable mentions are.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So we'll go through, through there. So starting back up with Kevin, if you want to go and say what your honorable mention was.
My honorable mention was Tell Me Why. I enjoyed what I got to play of it, but I didn't get to finish playing. And roughly was like echoing others. It wasn't perfect, but it had some really good representation and stuff of and tackled a tough subject matter.
All right, Steph?
My honorable mention is Necrobarista. I loved the style of this game, of course, because it's very kind of, you know, an anime graphic novel. Or I guess, you know, manga. But also the story, and I think the characters were so much fun and so well written. The story was entertaining from start to end. I'm not sure that there was, I remember having a few, I think, technical problems with this game. And I think I remember kind of wishing that there was more choices that you could make. But all in all, it's basically a visual novel. There, of course, are things that you can, choices that you can take, but you're just kind of enjoying the story and enjoying how they're telling the story. And it was a great ride. Like, I just think that there were a lot of great things that were covered. Like, I think, and it's been a few months since we played it, but they tackled a few difficult subjects very deftly and very, almost with a little bit of comedy. Very smartly, which is very difficult to do, and especially in kind of a medium like that, usually without it coming off as insincere, or they're making a joke of it, or coming off as corny, I guess. There were just a lot of things that I really loved about that game. Definitely a surprise. That's my honorable mention.
All right, this is Franco. My honorable mention, which was a really tough pick between the being an honorable mention and then my number three pick, Tell Me Why, was Bugsnax. So they were both, Bugsnax was really, really a pleasant surprise. You did that on its face. You sort of, this is just, bubblegum, but it's much more than bubblegum. It's strawberries, it's hot dogs, it's hamburgers. So, it was really, really enjoyable. So that was my honorable mention. Bugsnax.
All right. My honorable mention, this was tough. I thought that picking these games was going to be a lot easier because we had a smaller pool to pick from, but we actually did have a lot of good games, regardless this year. And this was tough to put on whether or not to actually put it in my top three or to have this as an honorable mention. And the only reason why it's in the honorable mention is just because of the kind of issues that the game had, just playing wise and not knowing whether or not you need to interact with the cutscenes or whatnot, or just that there were a few small quality of life things that could have been implemented in the game to make it better. But my honorable mention is Necrobarista. Simply for the fact of just the overall enjoyment of getting to know the characters. And just again, a story that stays with you, and kind of like, again, with like something that will like bring up memories of characters or story points in the game, long after you've played this game. And it's just, I don't know, it was just one of those memorable games that we played this year. And kind of wish it made it to the top three, but fortunately it didn't. And I mean, at least it made the overall top three.
Yeah, it made the overall top three, yeah.
But yeah, so that's my honorable mention.
My honorable mention, which again, kind of like Spiritfarer, it's only my honorable. It didn't make the list only because I didn't finish it, and there's a lot of game I didn't get to play. But just on what I experienced, Disco Elysium, you know, we've already heard a lot about Disco Elysium tonight, but that game is just, it's just so intriguing and interesting, and just like the mesh of characters and ideas and like game styles, and just I haven't gone back to it yet, but I'm really looking forward to going back to it and getting to play my drunk pop. But yeah, Disco Elysium was my honorable mention.
Madeline's honorable mention is Necrobarista. Madeline says, this was a wonderful game about being able to let go, knowing when it's time to stop avoiding responsibility and when it's time to take a new approach to it. Minimal gameplay and fantastic anime-style character art let the story of this visual novel really shine. And that's her honorable mention, Necrobarista.
And also, they did release a new update to the game as well that does have another story added to it. So if you're interested, you can always go and play that if you haven't already. There really wasn't a clear overall honorable mention. The only thing I could really say would be Bugsnax, just because there were two. There was Jonathan's pick, and then there was an honorable mention for Bugsnax. So, I guess we could say that was the honorable mention overall.
Sure.
So.
Well deserved.
Yes. So, at least Bugsnax gets on the list there, on the board there. So. So let's get back to Kevin with the number one game of 2021.
My number one game chat game of 2021 was Necrobarista. I just really enjoyed it. The characters were quirky, all kind of good lessons. And good music, and it just overall was a really fun experience, and everybody kind of expressed what was great about it more eloquently in their descriptions and stuff. But yeah.
There. Steph?
Oh, I completely forgot it was me. My number one was Disco Elysium. This game was... I mean, I had, of course, heard a lot about it because it had been out for a little bit, before we played it, I think. And I had heard a lot of people raving about it on Facebook and Discord. And, you know, and they were like, yeah, it's all, you know, it has a lot of text. It's very story driven. And so I went into it, you know, expecting good things, but it was so good. It was so good. The characters, I mean, you know, we've already had people, you know, say good things about this game here tonight, but like the characters, the artwork, it's kind of what you call like the, you know, it's kind of isometric style when you're playing it, but like the artwork with like, you know, because for those listening, if you haven't played, like when you're leveling up your character, well, you know, when you get points in different, you know, and experience, and you can pick different attributes to kind of add to your character. And the artwork for those was just wonderful. And the artwork for other things too in the game, if there was, you know, artwork involved or some kind, or the skill tree artwork was extremely fascinating. And just some of the things that you could just, some of the, like the ingenuity in this game is incredible. You had all kinds of options when you were talking to people. You could completely choose how you wanted to respond. Like you could play a completely like out there, like I think Madeline went completely like balls to the wall, excuse my phrasing, of like this crazy cop. If I remember correctly, I went more kind of like, you know, good recovering cop. And these things affected certain things, and like some of your conversations affected how the people related to you. And like some of the skill tree stuff was just so fascinating. Like you could just, there were just crazy things that you could like assign to your character, like that your necktie talked to you. And that opened up a whole different thing, because I had that one. And that opened up a whole different, like, conversation thing. And then, like, you know, like, the necktie would suddenly say something to you when you come upon something in the game. And then, like, depending on what you built, you put your skills into, your points into, was what kind of spoke to your character, to the detective that you were playing, you know, to the cop. Like these kind of voices that kind of spoke to you about decisions you were making, and oh, hey, like, and just that kind of, it did such a good job of, I mean, sure, it was kind of an extreme example, but it honestly did a good job of like just kind of showcasing, like, the, not to sound like, you know, I mean, respect, but not to sound like, you know, I don't know, not to blow out mental disorders, but even just a person in their everyday life, of like how different kind of, I guess, voices in your head can kind of like talk to you about decisions that you're making and be like, you should make this, you know, you should decide this, you should go this route. One big example is like the flight or fight syndrome, you know, like you'll have like part of your brain that's like, you really should just go. And part of your brain's like, just take it down, you know? And it did such a good job of like displaying that kind of to an extreme sense, but still. And, you know, especially when they added the voiceover to those things, like, I don't really think that there's anything in that game that I didn't like. And it was extremely fascinating from start to finish, which is a lot to say for a game that's several hours long. Yeah, I don't think that there was ever a moment that I was like not enjoying myself and not intrigued. So that's my long-winded number one.
All right, this is Franco, and I just hesitate because I cannot do the voice justice, but my number one pick is Disco Elysium. And I will, if I could, in the voice of that game, the mental inside voice would be, "Steph, get out of my head." You know, exactly. I mean, what a game. Just examining people's and your own and the character you develop's inner thoughts and trying to manage the best way you can. And everybody had a different take, like Stephanie said, on how to manage the unwieldy mind on the edge.
Yeah.
And just fascinating game. Just a fascinating game to play. And that's why it was my number one. Amongst other things that Steph already said, but I guess, you know, she just read my mind, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
All right, my number one, and I guess it's a little bias on my part because it was my must play. That's Unmemory. It's just, that game is, it was just, to me, so, I don't know, innovative that it just took me by surprise when I first saw it at PAX East, and that, you know, you're reading a book, but then you're also physically interacting with the story as you're reading it and, you know, making the kind of like the book come to life in a way. And, you know, not saying that the story is anything special or anything, but just the fact of having such a sense of, for me personally, having such a sense of accomplishment with, you know, solving the puzzles and everything, and, you know, looking back at my notebook, and if anyone ever finds it, like, just what they would think with with all the notes that are written in there and all the different symbols and stuff like that and everything, and but yeah, it was just it was something that I've never seen before, and it's, I don't know, it was just, yeah, it's hard to describe feelings for it because it was just such a unique experience from what I've played in quite a while, and it really did scratch that kind of like nostalgic itch in a way with the point and click adventure games from what I've had in the past and everything, and yeah, like I could go on, but I'd just be talking in circles and constantly repeating myself, like what's his face in the game where he just completely forgets where he is and who he is. So I'm just going to end it there and move on to Jonathan for his number one pick.
Okay. Well, my number one is not unknown to listeners of tonight's episode. my number one is Tell Me Why.
And,
and I don't think I really need to tell you why at this point, because you've heard everyone else's talks about it, because it's been pretty much on almost everyone else's list, you know. But yeah, no, just, it's one of those things, like, it wasn't until, you know, I sat down to vote on what my top three games were, that I just, like, saw Tell Me Why. It was, like, one of the first games we played this year. Actually, was it the first game we played?
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
It was the first game we played this year. And, I don't know, this year has been just such a whirlwind in my life right now, and just like thinking back to be like, oh yeah, that was this year. And just like, I remember just comparatively to last year with like, we started with Life is Strange 2 and ever. How,
yeah,
and how like we all wanted it to be so much better than it was, you know, and then to start to open the year out with Tell Me Why, and just I feel like just have it like just the brother sister relationship, just the sibling relationship in general was just like so good. And like I remember the whole time I'm playing, it was like this more of this. And it just like, you know, it had that kind of like Don't Nod, Life is Strange, like, you know, magical, like, ooh, gimmick kind of thing. But it was cool. It was different. And like it, you know, it was very interesting because it's like, oh, of course these twins have these ability. They haven't seen each other in a long time. They both have very different views of their small town because one stayed, one's coming back. And like, and then just the whole mystery surrounding their mother and just like the trauma associated with that, and then just like unraveling that, and it just being a really intriguing mystery, as well it being like, you weren't sure if it was like somewhat weirdly magical, you know, or if it's like, oh, and it just, and all that is great. And it's like, it's that kind of game. It's like, I feel like it's why we have game chat, you know, but honestly, and this is kind of, you know, just like a little bit like, okay, but what pushed it to number one for me is I just flippin' loved the Alaska setting. It was just so beautiful. And like, and it's like, you don't really play a Don't Nod game because like the setting is beautiful, you know. It's right, like you play right. It for because the characters are beautiful, and it's like, but I just love that like Alaska setting, and like learned about Alaskan culture, you know. Yeah. And I have a good friend from high school who she now lives in Alaska, you know, and I reached out to her when we played this game, and I was like, you got to play this game. And we talked and we reconnected, but it's like, she's a photographer. She posts pictures all the time, and it looked just like Tell Me Why, it looked just like her pictures and like her stories of living in a small town in Alaska. It's like, it was just so cool. And it's just, and like, that was such a special thing to just start out this year after 2020 to me. And yeah, and I wanna play more games like that. So I did tell you why. So
all right. Madeline's number one. we could probably take bets on what we think number one is. Just because we know Madeline is Kentucky Route Zero. Which I think was her must play, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Yeah. Because Madeline had been singing the game's praises for a while before we played it. Well, because we were waiting for... Because actually, an interesting fact is that Kentucky Route Zero was actually, like... I think that I had put it on a poll a couple of years ago, I think, a year ago.
We were, like, set to play it, but then episode... Five
the was last it? Episode hadn't was been announced? Released yet.
Yeah.
And we kind of decided, well, we kind of want to play the game as a whole. So we waited and put it, and well, we just, you know, took it off the schedule that year, and then had it on the schedule, you know, on the poll last year. And well, actually, no, because it was her must play. So we had to play it. And Madeline's little blurb about it says, I really, really love this game. I think I say this every time we talk about it, but it's one of the games that got me back into video games as an adult. So it means a lot to me for that. but even still, I love it all the more every time I replay it. Its understated dignity, the strangeness of the world, the familiarity of the people, and the beauty of the writing. Every time I play, I notice something else new, and I wish every game held that promise like this one does for me. There you go. Madeline's number one, Kentucky Route Zero.
Right. And the overall number one game for 2021. There was a tie between this game and Spirit Fair. But because of the honorable mention, which got bumped it up to one more vote, and put it into the top. And that game is, and I'm sure it's not surprised by much of anyone, is Tell Me Why.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it's rightfully deserved.
Yes. Yep.
So yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
We will send out our statue for you in the mail.
Yeah. You can expect accepting it in 25 the award. Business days.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
so just to recap, our overall top three was Necrobarista. The top two was Disco Elysium. Our honorable mention was Bugsnax, and then the number one was Tell Me Why.
What a great variety. I love it. Yeah.
So I mean, we I think this was our shortest list of games this overall, in the 6 years that we've had it, but I think it this has been some of the most memorable games we've played in is it 6 or 7 years that we've been doing this now, something like that. Can't believe
it's 2014.
I think so, okay. Somewhere in there. Yeah. Been a while, but so kind of we'll go into the schedule, but next week I believe we're starting Life is Strange 3, which is our 150th game.
Yes.
That we have played overall.
So exciting.
Wow.
We may have a special guest joining us for at least one of the chats. Not entirely sure what their schedule is like, if they're able to get it fit us in, but you'll just have to listen to find out. Steph wanted to mention something about the upcoming schedule before we do close out. So,
yeah. Guys, for 2022, we are playing a ton of great games. Chris mentioned Life is Strange is what we're starting out with, our 150th one. And for those that don't know, that's what we started with. Our first game ever was Life is Strange, the first one, the original. So that's super exciting. We're playing a ton of great games. And I'm not going to list, we'll post the schedule. Here over the next week or whatever, and I'll post the schedule on Discord. We'll get the schedule posted on our website, thegamechat.net. So I won't give you like dates for these, but I just wanted to go through and list some of the great games that we'll be playing. Of course, Life is Strange. Before Your Eyes, 12 Minutes, which is Jonathan. Wasn't your must pick, Jonathan?
That was my must play.
That was Jonathan's must play, 12 minutes. We're playing Chicory, Maquette, which was Chris's must play.
Yep.
Sable, Unpacking, Emily is Away,
Three.
Part 3, yeah. Yep. if found, dot ellipses, dot, 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 which is my must play. We're finishing up The Longing in May with people who started it a year ago. They'll be talking about it in May about, because that will be
400 days.
Yeah. The Forgotten City, The Artful Escape, Outer Wilds, which is Kevin's must play. An Airport for Aliens Currently Ran by Dogs, which was Madeline's must play. The Magnificent Truffle Pigs. Nice. Imposter Factory, which was Frank's must play. If on a Winter's Night for Travelers. Coffee Talk. Inscription. Signs of the Sojourner. Nuts. Toem. And then we'll, of course, have our special chats at the end of the year like we did this year. So yeah, that's just a list of the games that we'll be playing. Again, keep an eye on Discord and our site, thegamechat.net, for a listing of the schedule and the dates that we'll be talking about those. So that's all.
So that has been the top three games for 2020. And that has been, this has been the final chat of 2020, or sorry, top three games of 2021. And this has been the final chat of 2021. So it's been quite a ride this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully things will start getting better next year.
Yeah.
But I don't have the script in front of me, so I'm just going to kind of wing it here.
Okay.
If you want to get the current and past chats, you can check out our website, thegamechat.net. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and maybe some other places too that I can't quite remember. You can email us at, I think it's chatwithus@thegamechat.net. Yes. And you can also send us pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. Mm-hmm. We haven't received any at all, so please send us pictures.
Yeah. Get on that, people.
You can also check us out on Discord, too. I don't know if we ever plugged the Discord server.
That's true. Really
so,
it's where we do most of our talks.
Yeah.
So talk to us. Come talk to us. Yeah.
So we have the link to Discord on our site, thegamechat.net. So just click on the little Discord icon on the top right there, and that'll bring you right to our server there. And I think that's pretty much it for this year. So we'll see you next week. And we'll chat at you later. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.